Welcome to Women Leading the Way radio show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations, and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Vasi Hantalis, your host for Dreaming Big, Leading Boldly. Our topic today is, how is a European chocolate brand succeeding in the United States? And today I have with me Karen Baker, who is with Tushar Chocolates. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Vasi. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm so excited to talk with you, Karen, because this is one of my favorite topics, is chocolate. And perhaps for many of our listeners as well. So I just wanted to say a little bit about Karen. And Karen comes from a really interesting background. She is a molecular biologist, and she has a biotech background of many years. And she will tell us more about how she came to bring Tushar chocolates from Switzerland to the United States. So, Karen, tell us, what motivated you to start a business with chocolates?
That's a very interesting question. Actually, after being in science for 30 years, a wife and a mother of four, ranging from 20 years old to eight, I wanted to do something on my own. In the biotech industry, it's very difficult to own a biotech. You have to raise millions. It's a big enterprise. And I wanted to bring a passion here that I had, was Tushar chocolates. I always loved the brand since a little girl. It's very iconic. And it popped to my mind, San Diego didn't have one. He has been around for the last 80 years, but not here. This is why I was motivated to bring it, to own something on my own, doing it for me and only alone. The second thing was my family. They were highly motivated and behind me to support me to start something very different. The third thing that really motivated me is that I didn't know where to start. I was, okay, you have an idea, but where to start when you don't have the background? So I met Sylvia Ma, that is the founder of AeroLab, and I took the launch intensive program that they offer. And that was, I had finally all the tools, the passion for something, the emotional side that was supported me, and now I had the tools to move forward. So those three things really motivated me.
And, you know, what you're talking about doing is unique, and especially from your background. And how has that helped you in your business? You know, your background as a molecular biologist and as a mom and the many things that you've done.
Can you repeat that question? I'm sorry, I didn't hear properly.
Oh, sure. I was saying that you come from a unique background, both as a molecular biologist and as a mom. Mm-hmm. So I was curious to know how your background has helped you in building your business.
Oh, yes. So in science, it's a very detailed. At first, I was in research, so everything I have to do is mostly on my own. You know, the researchers give you a project, and you have to bring data. And you're pretty on your own to bring the finest data to get the right results. So setting up Tushar was exactly the same, you know, from the location, so how to set it up, what type of POS system. It's those little steps that I was doing in the lab constantly that helped me tremendously with Tushar. I was all alone, but I had those tools to move forward step by step. I was trained in that manner, and that was tremendous to set up that business, to bring it here in San Diego.
Yes. So tell our listeners a little bit more about your business, because you have an actual physical store here in San Diego, and you also sell online. So tell us a little bit more about your business.
So Tushar is the very finest chocolate in the world. Mr. Tushar set it up 80 years ago, and only passionate people brought it outside Switzerland. So we have only 7 stores in the USA for the last 40 years, but we have footprints everywhere. We are in Japan for the last 40 years. We are in the Middle East. And we are now in Europe expanding, such that is a challenge. In San Diego, I try to do it only online, but it's very difficult to sell anything high-end. People want to look, see first. So I decided to open a storefront. That's the very challenging part, to run a storefront with a retail business in our days. So we have a storefront in La Jolla where people can come and look all the chocolates we have. We have more than 200 different type of chocolates. And when they acquaint with a brand, then they oftentimes they go online and they order it. But the reverse is still a very difficult task. If they don't know the product, they will want to see it first. So far, this is the model we have for Taishare in San Diego.
And you talked about how they like to see the chocolates, obviously coming in the store, but my guess is they also want to taste it, right? Do you have any?
Exactly, yeah. But we don't do testing. So this is a bit our mantra. We love to treat our customers, but first you have to become a customer. So they can buy as little as 1 piece and as plenty as they wish. But this is exactly what we didn't want with Taishare. Is like anyone come, you know what I mean? We really want to acquire a customer. And first they have to be a customer. After, of course, we treat them very well. But usually they come, they're very curious, and they like to try. And this is the way it started it. And Mr. Taishare insists on that part because it's very high-end. We don't really have the means, you know, to give free for all, you know, for everyone that comes in the store. And the customer feels very special, actually. It was interesting. I was afraid at the beginning to do so because in the USA it's very common to give samples. Back home is not as common, but it is very common here. People want to sample it. But that it cuts the charm of it and how special it is. And so far it's working very well. People understand it and acquire customers that way.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. You know, you had mentioned a little while ago about a retail store, you know, how there's challenges with that. So, you know, what are some of the biggest challenges you've faced so far, and what have you learned from that?
So the biggest challenge was the first one is to find the right location for me at the right rent. Retail is extremely expensive, and this is why, anyway, in California, I'm not sure across America because I never really been everywhere. You don't have mom-and-pop shop. You just have those massive franchises or smaller franchise, but is often owned by investors. You know, I met on a rare occasion, you have a bunch of owners, or one owner. It's very rare. Though, so that was the first thing. How to find a retail spot that match my brand with an elegant zip code because I sell high-end and I can afford it, and somehow visual. You know, I'm not in the street. Mm-hmm. I'm in the plaza. That was the biggest challenge, for sure. Now the second challenge that is up and running is to find the right staff to bring the passion to the customer. It's a high-end. It takes someone very special, you know, to talk to other ones, to convince you, look, this is the best chocolate in the world because it's competition out there. You know, they can buy chocolate everywhere. They don't have to come to Taishare. So that is the second challenge, is to keep it running day after day. But so far, so good. I'm very, very happy, and I'm very thankful for all the supports of my clients.
Well, and let's share some of the successes you've had. You know, what have been some of the things that you're most proud of in building your business?
Look, it's a beautiful boutique. So when people come, they all tell me how beautiful it is. They love it. It's interesting when people, how they love all the decorations that is from Switzerland. And that, for me, it makes me successful. I say, okay, when people come, they want to come back. That's the first thing. On a very rare occasion, someone leaves and they're like, what the heck is that? You know, it's too expensive. No, that makes me very happy. And to bring a European feel here in the in California, everywhere you go is grab and go. Everything is so fast. When you buy something, it has to be fast because everyone is so busy. When they come to Taisha, they take the time to explore. They love to listen the story of the chocolate, how Mr. Taisha created the truffle or created the rose. And that, for me, it's a very, very positive. And I love that successful part of the business. It has been only positive.
And, you know, where would we find you, say, a year from now, Karen, with the business?
Look, I think so far, yeah, I've been only in business 5 months. And I've really marketed in La Jolla. And that has been doing very well. But it's not enough, obviously. So a year from now, I really hope I'm expanding to northern San Diego. I got the license for all San Diego County, all the way to Orange County. So I really hope to expand. I don't get so far all, you know, Del Mar, Rancho Santa Fe, Carlsbad. So I'm trying to develop a platform that the clients will hear about me and start buying. To come to La Jolla is not easy. The drive is painful. The parking is painful. I'm very aware of that. So I'm really trying now to find new venues, how I'm targeting that. So that's my plan for this year. And then further, of course, I would love to open a second outlet. See, you know, how it works. A second location would be fantastic. So this is what I see myself in a year from now.
Wonderful. And how about, you know, in this radio show, we talk about leading boldly. And I'd love to hear from your perspective, you know, what does leading boldly mean to you?
I thought about that quite a bit. I think for me, it's taking the initiative and stepping out of my comfort zone, because everything I do every day, I never sold anything in my life. I never did customer service. I never did anything of what I'm doing right now. And that it was leading boldly, that's just to go for it and get out of my comfort zone. And secondly, what is the look for me is to afford the mistakes I can do, because we all do mistakes. And just to go, to just do it and make sure to evaluate if there is a mistake that I can afford it. That was mean for me.
Yes, you know, that piece about stepping outside of your comfort zone. You know, we hear so many people talk about it's about being comfortable, being uncomfortable.
Yeah,
being comfortable, being uncomfortable. So say some more about your experiences with that.
It's definitely, for me, has been very challenging, and especially I'm not from here. I have a heavy accent that doesn't help every day. But the fact that I lived in Japan, I came here in Palo Alto for the biotech industry. I left very young my country, so I was uncomfortable, but then became comfortable. When I came to San Diego, it was the same. And so when I left to Japan, it was a big shock. I said, Japan, who goes to Japan? Well, I went, couldn't speak a word of Japanese. I lived 5 years. So in my past, I learned to be uncomfortable, and like I said, comfortable. So I applied that in the business. It helped tremendously. And after a while, actually, it's hard to believe, but it's thrilling. It's thrilling to be, you know, always with that fidgety mode, and you want something new, and you want to be curious about it. Of course, it's uncomfortable. Be curious is uncomfortable. And for me, it was day after day, despite it was very uncomfortable to begin with, become thrilling, and I would truly enjoy it.
You know, I love what you said about curiosity, because it sounds like your curiosity was bigger than any fear or discomfort you had. And that really helped you, you know, whether it was living in another culture or starting a business.
Definitely. Absolutely. I always say, my children, never let the curiosity stop you, because it will only bring you forward. And this is what I apply with Taisha. It sounds, it's interesting, because owning a little store sounds very simple. It's very actually challenging. I actually, now when I go to a store, I see the store totally different manner, because I see how it's challenging every step of the way. And for my case, that I didn't have at all the background, the curiosity every day to move forward definitely helped me to achieve what I'm doing today.
You know, I also like what you said about the mistakes and learning from the mistakes. And, you know, I don't know, it's my opinion that a mistake isn't really a mistake if we're learning from them. So, you know, how have you been able to keep your focus on the learning versus the fear of failure? Because a lot of people do talk about that fear of failure.
Look, I think in my situation, I give myself I'm very realistic on my goals. Obviously, when you own a chocolate store like mine, you're not going to make millions, definitely not with one store. So this was the first thing. And I was, okay, I want to do something for me, by myself, all alone. It takes with a price. There's so much one can do. So I learned to have a set goal and to live with it. So in my case, was to inject a certain amount of money and not one penny more and see what I can do. So that was the first thing. Obviously, after now 6 months, I can't pay myself yet. You know, you just learn from it. You say, okay, well, I have to give myself more time. So that was my goal, is to set me the right amount of time to develop what I wanted to develop and to set my goal. And the failure in my case, I'm not afraid. I give myself 3 years, and if it's not good enough, then you close the door. But there's nothing wrong with failure. You learn from it, and you become better anyway for the next day.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I've heard the term fail forward with that idea that as we take those steps, we're moving forward with every step.
Exactly. You know, it doesn't, of course, like I said, I think for my case, I was very realistic with the goals and the way I set it up, like not taking a big rent. Obviously, I had the opportunity to go to UTC to set up my store. You know, I was invited there, and that's, mm-hmm. you know, I was very proud. I was, wow, I'm nobody in the retail. I'm nobody. I never done it. And there is UTC Mall. Actually, I did a pop-up at Christmas time. And they said, look, if you want to open the store here, we would love to have you. That was amazing to me. But I declined because I knew that was setting me for failure. I couldn't afford that mistake. This is big rents. You need massive marketing behind. So that type of thing, I said, okay, you know, I'm going not to do it because I knew that is a mistake I couldn't afford.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, mm-hmm. I was extremely, extremely happy and proud for Toyshare, you know, what I'm trying to set up here, that this big mall approached me. That was incredible, actually, because it's not easy to get into those malls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that says a lot about the reputation, too, of the chocolates and your vision for wanting to bring it here.
Definitely. You know, I think what I noticed people, I forgot to mention, they're very thirsty of attention when they buy something. And like I say, everywhere you go is grab and go. No one knows your name. You can go 1,000 times to Starbucks locally. No one knows who you are. You're just grabbing the coffee and you leave. When you come to Toyshare, we know you. The second time you come, we remember your face. And then people tell me their lives is very inspiring, actually. You know, I meet, talking about connections, I meet all type of different people, and you feel everyone wants to talk. You know, everyone wants to be listened to a little bit, you know, while you're doing, when you're buying something that makes you happy. And I realize is a niche here in California, because it's a very European feel, and people enjoy it tremendously because it's non-existent, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you do bring something because of your background, something unique, and it's about spending time really getting to know each other and creating those connections and really being in relationship. It's not just a transaction, a sale. It's you're building a relationship
Definitely.
With your client.
Absolutely. You know, in Toyshare, you do. And maybe is the cost, is a high hand, but I didn't expect that at all. I was always worried, oh, I don't have enough employees, it's not fast enough, right? Because people don't want to mm-hmm. wait. Well, no, right. People wait because to be cost effective, obviously we don't have three people behind the counter because I can't afford it. So I decided, okay, just be smart here and see how the customer reacts. Actually, I was very surprised the customer enjoys it. He enjoys that the person before the him, we take the time each time because the boxes are beautiful. We answer your question. And they leave with an experience, not just a chocolate. They love to hear, like, now Mr. Tertius in Bangkok, he's always traveled the world to buy his best ingredients. For example, we have a rose truffle made of pure rose oil. It comes from one place in the world that they do it, is outside Istanbul. He drove 3 hours for that. Just to have the best oil unique, a quart is $15,000. So when you come to our store, we want to tell you that story because we want you to have it and enjoy it because there's a story behind every single piece of chocolate we have.
I think we're so, hungry for stories, and it just makes us, it gives us an experience also of different places in the world. So the fact that these chocolates carry a story, each one, it sounds like, sounds very interesting. And
actually,
Oh, go ahead, Karen.
So Mr. Tertius is very interesting. He has been around for so long, and the business actually has clients, the businessman telling me why this business doesn't grow. And I say, maybe from an American perspective, it doesn't grow because I explained them, Switzerland is only 7 million people. So Mr. Tertius did very well for, imagine, a little chocolatier in Zurich, and now we have outlets across the world. This is something. Of course, we're not Lindt, but Lindt is not a product anymore. It's a massive business, right? So Mr. Tertius is still a marvelous product. And, you know, to be that big in Switzerland is massive for him. Of course, in the footprints of America, we're still very little for sure.
Yeah. Well, I want to switch gears here for a moment because you are also a mom of four.
Yes.
And so I'd love to talk to you more about, you know, what's worked well for you, you know, in running a business and being a mama.
So far, I'm laughing because nothing. I'm never, the setting up, I was brutal. I didn't expect that. I was never home for the day I opened the door. That was 16 hours a day. But what worked, that's the first phase. I knew I won't be there. But what worked extremely well is that I was always home, spending time with them on and off because I was a molecular biologist, but as my husband took over 100%. So that was incredible for the children to see the father all the time with 100. He's always there, but that was 100%. But what was extremely empowering and emotional is usually as a mom, you encourage your children, right? They're telling you the story of the day, not you. You don't tell them what you did or your challenges oftentimes. That time was my story. How was my day? How did I open the store? What happened? How my sales? How is my clients? How I'm doing? And that, I think it was extremely nice to see them, how they react to me. Usually it's me empowering them, and now they were empowering me. So that's the first step that you worked at as a mom is to have a story every day, something new to tell them, something that I'm doing, something for me and only for me. I hope now the second step, that's to be back as a mother, right, to be more hands-on. But so far, that's my story as a mother of four, is to have my children looking at me different than the mother. You know, suddenly I have my business. I'm a little entrepreneur.
Well, it seems like that just gives them a different understanding of who you are. You're not just
definitely
one way. Don't go to a job. You're and more real. That's the other thing I'm hearing from you, Karen, is your children get to experience you from a different, I don't know, real is the word that comes to me.
Definitely. And also, you know, Tertius is a very high end. They have a location. It's iconic. If you know the brand, it's definitely an iconic for them. This is, oh, the mom owns it here in La Jolla. It's it's pretty cool, you know, that for a little kid, actually, it's me, my side. I'm a bit sometimes, oh, you know, I'm only selling chocolate. I was a molecular biologist. They had career fair in school. And my little boy says, oh, why don't you come to talk about your chocolate? And I was, really? You want me to talk about opening a store? Don't you want me to talk about the scientist that I was? So, you know, it's a little bit me sometimes I have to remind myself, it is different, but it is something, you know. So that was very cute of my kids reacting that way.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Well, if just in case our listeners might want to reach you after our show, how would you like our listeners to contact you?
So I have my email is teicher.sandiego@gmail.com. That's the email from the store. And, of course, they can go on my website, teicher.sandiego.com. They can contact me both ways.
And for our listeners, if you didn't catch those contact deals, I'm sorry, details, we'll have more information listed in our show notes. So you can see how it's out there. Yeah. And you know, I also wanted to ask you, Karen, for those listeners who maybe are in a job or maybe they have a vision of something they'd like to start, what advice or tips do you have for them for making the transition to owning a business?
So especially if they, they're not in the field like I was, I, of course, when I talk to people before opening my store, I call to every single person owning a business and you, other teachers that have been up and running, or talking to different people in the field of owning a business, because I had no one that I can talk to because all my friends and my connections are signed. My advice is listen to them, but learn from your own experience. Because if you listen to too many people, you're not going forward ever. You know, you need the guts to say, okay, because most of people tell you the negative things of the business. I realize that. They tell you how hard it is. Oh, for example, I'm not going to make any money. Oh, it's not going to work. Oh, so that's my message to them. Just go for it and don't be afraid. If you can afford the mistakes, just don't be afraid. You will be only satisfied and you will be thriving for sure. If you have the passion and the grit, you can only move forward.
That's very inspiring. So listen to other people, but learn from your own experiences. And then to go for it, don't be afraid. Be willing to go outside of your comfort zone.
Absolutely. If you listen to people, then you don't. If I had listened to everyone, forget it. I would have never done it because it is brutal. It is a lot of work and there's a lot of unknowns. I've never done it. So, but I have so far absolutely no regrets. I am somebody, a little somebody in La Jolla. I came from my little Switzerland. I'm half Spanish. And I have, this is my city of adoption, San Diego. I came for science. And today I have my story here. And that for me, like I said, my expectations, that was my goal, realistic, and thrilled. And that's my advice to people. Set up realistic goals and just go for it and listen to others, but don't apply exactly what they tell you, for sure not.
That's great. And in those moments, because like you said, there's times that are brutal, it's hardworking. What keeps you going? Like, what's your motivation?
Look, that's very interesting. I think the passion, of course, many times I say, oh, I'm giving up. I'm not doing that because I just can't do it. And it's something inside me, and that then I realize I must do it, is not the fear of failing, the fear of regretting not doing it. That keeps me going. I say, look, you know what? If I don't try, I will never know. And that, for me, was bad. I fear the regret way more than failing, and that kept me going. And the positive, when I looked for retail, that was very hard. And when I found a place in La Jolla, I was, that's it. I have it, right? I have the great location and the great support, and that's what kept me going all the time. And, of course, Mr. Teicher, you know, he's so iconic. He's an old man, and just to listen to him and the connection from back home, this incredible legend of chocolatiers, that keep me going. I couldn't not be part of it just a little bit. And that keep me going tremendously because he's a legend in the chocolatey world. You know, for the small chocolatey high-end, he's very famous.
So there's that real passion that I hear kept you going and that building on a legacy that had already been around.
Definitely. Pardon me.
And then the other thing that I was going to say is, you know, that fear of regretting not doing it, like focusing on that. It's like, why not? Why not do it? Right?
Absolutely. So, you know, okay, if I don't do it, then what? What am I going to do? You know, I have one kid in college. So that was keeping me going for sure. And like I said, I knew the brand as a little kid. I used to look at the windows. I was mesmerized. And today I have my own. I can be mesmerized on my own setting. And it's delightful. It's definitely, despite, like I said, the difficulty, it's just delightful to bring a little bit of Europe here, something a little bit different. Of course, it's wonderful. Don't take me wrong. I enjoy being in California. But I think it's a niche for that type of product and customer service here, for sure.
Well, this has been wonderful, Karen. That's our show for today. And I'd like to say thank you so much, Karen, for being our meeting lady today.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a true honor. I truly appreciate it.
You're so welcome. And a special thanks to all our listeners, as we'll be back again for another Women Lead radio show. We're here every Monday at 9 a.m. and Friday at 2 p.m. And this Friday, the 20th at 2 p.m., Michelle Berquist will interview Amelia Brodka, president of Exposure Skate, and the topic will be changing the game for women and girls in skateboarding. So thanks again for listening and joining me today. I'm Vasi Hantalis, your host of Dreaming Big, Leading Boldly. Stay true to your dreams by asking yourself this important question: what's the next bold step I can take to move my vision forward? Be the bold leader you were born to be, and go for it.
Women Lead. Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.